This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Arkansas Turfgrass Association. This episode is sponsored in part by Winrock Grass Farm, now featuring Ezoy, the most beautiful and environmentally correct lawn grass you can buy. Visit us at www.winrockgrassfarm.com to learn more. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode of Arkansas Turfgrass, we're joined by Matt Bertucci, research scientist in the Crop, Soil, and Environmental Sciences Department at the University of Arkansas. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we start talking about crabgrass control, first tell us a little bit about your background and your position.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a newly hired research scientist at the University of Arkansas. And as a research scientist, I'm not quite faculty, not quite a postdoc. I fall between there. But I have my own research program. And I'm responsible for weed and vegetation management in turf, pastures, roadsides, and specialty crops. So it's a real big grab bag of responsibilities. And I like to think I'm pretty well prepared for it. My background, I got a PhD in horticultural weed science at NC State. I was studying weed control and watermelons. So I learned about vegetable production systems. And I have to tell you, turf is pretty far different from the vegetable production. But, you know, you learn all the fundamentals of weed science, you learn different management strategies, and I think it's something that I'm really excited to take on.
Excellent. Well, I know our turf grass managers are going to be very interested to hear your insight about crabgrass. So first, tell us, how do we recognize crabgrass and why don't we want to see it in our turf?
Sure. You know, I think a podcast is a kind of difficult format to help people with weed identification, and the fact of the matter is a proper weed ID is most easily achieved with experience. If you've seen crabgrass over and over, it starts to become familiar. You can pick it out a mile away. It's undesirable because it's got big, coarse leaf blades, and it has a paler color than usually our desired cool season or warm season grasses. One thing you can look for if you're holding the grass, if you pull it up from the leaf blade, if you pull back toward the stem, you should be able to observe a membranous ligule. That's the little organ right between the leaf blade and the leaf stem. Now, if you've got large crabgrass, that's going to be hairy all along the leaf blade and along the stem and the sheath, while smooth crabgrass, which is a little bit different, wouldn't have those pubescences, would not have those hairs. Now, crabgrass is a summer annual. That means it completes its life cycle in 1 year as an annual weed species. And typically with our annuals, we really want to prevent annual weeds from setting seed at all. But if you happen to see large crabgrass or smooth crabgrass flowering, it has a very characteristic inflorescence. It has racemes that are kind of digitate. They look like fingers protruding from the stem in alternating pattern. And that actually is the way that it got its Latin name, Digitaria sanguinalis in the case of large crabgrass, or Digitaria escachum from smooth crabgrass. So that's something that you can remember. If you ever see those flowers, first thing, you should have tried to keep those out of your property because you do not want annual weeds setting seed. But if you've ever seen those flowers, it's something that can really easily be recognized.
So now that we know how to recognize and why we don't want crabgrass, let's talk about pre-emergent herbicides. When and how should turfgrass managers use those for crabgrass?
Sure. As I mentioned before, large crabgrass is a summer annual weed species, so that means it's really doing it. It's emerging when the soil temperatures get in the mid-50s to 60 degrees Fahrenheit, and then it'll germinate from seed, and it will start growing vegetatively over the summer and then, you know, go through its life cycle over that summer season. So with a pre-emergent herbicide, the objective is to target that weed as it's germinating from a seed. So that means that we'd need to put out our pre-emergent herbicides before the soil temperatures reach that time. So that would be late in the winter, early spring, that we can kind of achieve those pre-emergent weed control strategies. So In Arkansas, you're looking at late March, early April. Depending on the residual activity, there are different pre-emergent herbicides, or if you have a really busy schedule, you might try and put it out as early as February. But again, the closest you can get it to the emergence or the germination, that's when you've got your longest residual activity after the application. But typically, what we've considered the ideal timing would be late February or early March.
So we've obviously already applied our pre-emergence, but why might we need post-emergence? Is it difficult to control all crabgrass with pre-emergent herbicides?
Sure. There's several reasons why a pre-emergent herbicide application might not have worked. So you might have put out your pre-emergent herbicides and you come back to the site and sure enough, there's crabgrass that's rearing its head. That's coming up through your turf. And you're probably thinking, this didn't work at all. You know, this product's no good. In extreme cases, people want to say that they've got herbicide resistance crabgrass species. And realistically, it's more likely that certain issues, and they're very common issues, had come up. So if a pre-emergence fails, you might take a look at the pattern. A lot of times, if you go in kind of like a detective and you look for clues as to what could have gone wrong, you might get an idea into what the issue was. So if you see a strip right across your property, you know, and everywhere else there's good control, but there's this one strip where crabgrass came through. I mean, I think most experienced managers would recognize, well, we just didn't put herbicide there, did we? You know, and that could be that the applicator made a mistake when going through the property. Another possibility, and this is something I've seen on some of the research stations prior to me arriving at the University of Arkansas, but it's very common for people to continue applying and not realize that they ran out of product. And so a lot of times at the very end of the application, either the solution isn't coming out in the same volume or the product has run out. So you end up getting no control in that spot. So there's all sorts of reasons why you might not have delivered the product to the site. So be aware that that might have just been a mistake. It's possible that you didn't get the proper irrigation or rainfall event. So these pre-emergent herbicides work by preventing or killing the germinating seedling as the germ tube is emerging from that seed. So it needs to be in contact with those seeds. And if you apply a pre-emergent herbicide and there's no rainfall, all of that herbicide is stuck strictly at the surface of the soil. There's no movement down into the soil profile without some sort of irrigation or rainfall event. That's what we call an activating rainfall. And if you didn't have an activating rainfall, you can have major breakdowns or major consequences as far as your pre-emergent weed control. And then really a final scenario is that the pre-emergent herbicide worked and it did its job, and then it's just broken down. So different pre-emergent products have different residual activity. So that means that they last for a certain amount of time. And then biochemically or through environmental conditions, that chemical breaks down. It doesn't work forever. So it may be that you put out a low rate of that product and your application called for a sequential pre-emergent application, but you haven't gotten around to that yet. And so there's a situation where there was no error, there was no mistake. The herbicide did exactly what it was supposed to. However, crabgrass has begun emerging. And if you observe crabgrass emerging, that's when you really can't rely on pre-emergent herbicides, because that's really, by definition, you won't be putting it out pre-emergence. They're already emerged, right?
So when we have that realization that the crabgrass has emerged, when should we apply our post-emergent?
Well, I think that's the good news, right? So you're able to, if you've got a pre-emergence herbicide that's failed, there are post-emergence control options. You know, I've told you before that I've got experience as a vegetable weed scientist. As far as crabgrass control, it was very easy in watermelons because targeting a grass species in a broadleaf crop is very, very easy. They're very chemically or physiologically very different. With turf grass can be very similar to the weedy grass species. So we need to be careful about the post-emergence products that we select, because we don't want to accidentally injure the desirable turf grass species. And so really what we need to do is we need to look through the chemicals that are available. We need to think about which of these will work, which of them are labeled for which uses. But as far as the crabgrass goes, really the best thing to do is target those crabgrass plants when they're small. The smaller the crabgrass is, the more susceptible it is to chemical control. And if they get a little bit larger, they produce multiple leaves, and then they'll begin tillering. So tillering is when they have a new shoot emerging that would then bear more inflorescences at the end of the season. As they shift to tillering, they become much more difficult to control, and that would require not just post-emergence treatments, but sequential post-emergence treatments. You're very unlikely to get a successful single application with a post-emergent product for crabgrass that's begun tillering. So as a general rule, if you see that you've got emerged crabgrass and you're thinking, I need to hit it with some sort of post-emergent product, best thing you can do is act quickly when those crabgrass plants are still very small.
So what are some products that turfgrass managers could use, and what are the specifics of each of those products?
Sure. So turfgrass managers are going to have a lot of different options, and it's really going to be based on what the use is, what the species is for the turfgrass in question. So the first product that's listed on this publication associated with this podcast was Asalam. That's labeled only for sod farms and specifically for use in St. Augustine and Bermuda grass only. So this has some post-emergence activity on crabgrass, but recall, again, only if you're a sod farmer. If you move on to Celsius, that is a three-way mix with thiencarbazone, iodosulfuron, and dicamba. And that's got a wide range of activity because it's got different products in it, but that's for warm season turf types. So again, that's what you're going to expect with crabgrass control. It's going to be the warm season. But Celsius would be one product. Now, dithiapyr is a very interesting, that's under the trade name Dimension. This is a good product because it's labeled for pre-emergent control of crabgrass, but it also has some early post activity. So that's good news because if you've put it out early and you want to use it for pre-emergence control, that's one use. But then also, if you happen to get to a site a little bit late and you see just very, very small germinating crabgrass seedlings, you can actually put out this dithiapyr treatment and it will achieve a level of control post-emergence and also have that continued residual activity similar to a pre-emergence herbicide. So it can kill the crabgrass that's emerged, and then also the residual activity will behave similar to a pre-emergent herbicide. So dithiapyr is a very useful herbicide in that specific scenario where you have small emerged crabgrass. Another option would be mesotrione, which goes under several trade names, Tenacity, Slipstream, Lucto. And that offers contact and residual weed control and turf, but be aware that can cause severe injury on actively growing Bermuda grass, zoysia grass, creeping brent grass, and even other turf species. So with mesotrione, for post-emergence control of crabgrass, that's saying it has activity on the crabgrass, but really be aware, you need to look at the label, and you need to know which turf species it can be safely applied in. Continuing, we have MSMA. That's good for post-emergence control of crabgrass, but again, it's only labeled for use in sod farms or in golf courses. So with MSMA, that's not going to be for home lawns, and you really need to make sure, again, and I'm going to reiterate this every time, you need to be familiar with the label use and the restrictions stipulated by those labels. A new product that people should be aware of is Pinoxidin. This is a Syngenta product under the trade name Manuscript. This is a new group one herbicide, and it was released for control of torpedo grass. I only saw it with a 24C label, but now it's got the full registration for Bermuda grass, zoysia grass, and St. Augustine grass and sod production. So growers should be aware that Pinoxidin is a new active that can be used in this capacity, and it will have good control of crabgrass. Now, really one that probably people would have expected to start on, I've just been going alphabetically, but if people would have expected me to start on probably for post-emergence control of crabgrass is Quinclarat. That's under the trade name Drive, Drive Accelerate, and then also many, many others. Now, that's really the staple post-emergence product for control of crabgrass, and it can be used in many different environments. But be aware that St. Augustine grass, centipede grass, or bahia grass, those are sensitive to quinclarat, and they'll likely be injured by applications. Now, you'll probably see there's a lot of different products that include quinclarat and that are labeled for use for control of post-emergence control of crabgrass, and that could include something like Q4, Square One, Solitaire, and those are all combinations of quinclarat or quinclarat plus sulfentrazone, 2,4-D, dicamba, or, you know, any other combination of those products and quinclorac. But just be aware that quinclorac is the only one that really is doing any of that post-emergent control of crabgrass. Or those additional actives are helping with other weed species, but quinclorac is the one that's doing the lifting in those mixtures. Now, wrapping them up, there's tapramazone. That's under the trade name Pilex. And that's similar to mesotrione. It's got that bleaching characteristic. That's got post-emergence control of crabgrass. The difference is that tapramazone is labeled for use in creeping bentgrass, and that is not common for, that is not allowed for mesotrione. And lastly, there's cithoxidim under the trade name Segment. That's got broad spectrum control of annual and perennial grass weeds. But be aware, cithoxidim is really only labeled for use in centipede grass or fine fescue. That is a, we call those the grass killers or the graminicides, the that class of chemicals that cithoxidim belongs to. So with the exception of centipede grass or fine fescue, cithoxidim can be very harmful to your turf grass species. So again, be very careful and be sure you're familiar with the use restrictions for these different products.
Sounds like we have a lot of options. As long as we're aware of our turf grass variety and label instructions, it seems like there are some good choices for turf grass managers to handle their crabgrass. So wrapping up, in conclusion, what are the most important things to remember about controlling crabgrass?
Sure. So some things that I would recommend to remember is, you know, we started out by explaining some of the mistakes that may have been made. So why did your pre-emergent herbicide application fail? Maybe your sprayer wasn't properly calibrated. Maybe you didn't measure out the right amount of product and you accidentally ran out during the application. But the key is you just need to make sure you don't make that same mistake twice. So I think that's just a real easy way to make sure that in all realms, it's always great to learn from your mistakes. If you've seen something that failed, amend and change your behavior to make sure that you don't make that same mistake again. Now, if you're in the situation where you're looking at crabgrass that have come up and you don't have any pre-emergence options to rely on anymore because you've got emerged crabgrass, be sure that you're targeting these crabgrass plants when they're small. So the post-emergence herbicides have greater success, they have greater activity on small crabgrass plants rather than fully mature or tillering crabgrass plants. Now, as I mentioned, there's different post-emergence products that have labeled use in different scenarios for sod only or for golf course only or only for these specific turf grass species. And that's something that you really need to make sure you're being careful not to harm your turf. As much as we want to keep these crabgrass plants from growing, setting seed in our property and then coming back next year is a big problem. We also don't want to injure the turf by applying some sort of post-emergence product. And one way to avoid that is to make sure we're following label instructions and then also exercise some caution on really high heat days in the summer. So we're putting out these post-emergent products, could be warmer in the year. If you're getting temperatures above 85 degrees Fahrenheit and you put out a surfactant with this post-emergent product, as usually is required by the label, you could see some turf injury. If you have the opportunity to put it off for a cooler day, that might be a good idea to try not to harm your turf because we don't want to do any damage while we're trying to keep those weeds out. And then the last thing, I've tried to remind everyone of this, the label is the law. So you're responsible to be familiar with this government-issued herbicide label. You're responsible to make all of your applications in accordance with that. And just, it has a lot of information that's just useful for all managers. So by all means, please make sure you've familiarized yourself with the intended use of this product and that you're following the directions for use.
Great information. Thank you so much, Matt, for joining us and sharing your expertise.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
And don't miss an episode of Arkansas Turfgrass. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to check out our show notes to get all the information Matt shared with us today.
You've been listening to the Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including Winrock Grass Farm, now featuring Ezoy, the most beautiful and environmentally correct lawn grass you can buy. Visit us at www.winrockgrassfarm.com to learn more. For more episodes of the Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.